Regardless of your race, your color, your language, nothing would hinder you. Nothing would prevent you from coming into the sanctuary of God. Even the sparrow, you may be insignificant in your own eyes, insignificant in the eyes of the world, but dear child of God, you are precious in the sight of God. And it is He who is inviting you to come into the sanctuary that you may sit with the mighty, that you may sit with the kings of this earth and look at the glory of God, the blessedness of the sanctuary of God. That's what it is. I believe that. And let us take that to heart. Never make an excuse saying that, Lord, I'm in this condition. If things were better in my life, I would have served you better. I would have spent more time in your presence. I would have devoted my life to greater purposes, higher purposes. But Lord, look at my situation. I'm this little sparrow. I'm going through all these difficulties, all those restrictions, all those hindrances, all those walls are around me. But the Lord is saying, if the sparrow could find a house in my sanctuary, you could find. You are welcome to come. Welcome to come. And then, you know, at the end of that, so much is there. We are familiar with that psalm, so I don't want to go into all the details of that psalm. But something that took my attention is found in verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." No good thing. No good thing. The other day I was reading Matthew chapter 7, and there in verse 11, that same expression is used. Good thing. Let us look at the good thing that we find there. And no good thing is withheld from those who come into the sanctuary. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The sun and shield. It speaks of the all-sufficiency of God. There is nothing that would hinder you from prospering in the presence of God. Nothing would hinder you from being fruitful in the presence of the Lord, because He's a sun and He shines brightly over your life. All that you need to do is expose yourself to that sunlight of God's presence. And also, child of God, regardless of who you are under His care, under His protection. Remember what the Lord said about the sparrows. You know, those worthless, you know, little creatures. It says, your heavenly Father's eyes are on the sparrow. And that is our God. And not only that, not only that, all these wonderful provisions are made for our life, but the Lord is saying, I will not withhold any good thing from you. You know, when it comes to the love of God, that is something that we need to recognize. The Lord said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If the Lord had to demand that or ask that from us, what would you think the Lord Himself does? Or the love of God? What kind of love is this? The love of God is such that it cannot withhold any good thing from the object of His love. You know, He loved us and gave Himself for us. Gave Himself for us. It cannot, God cannot withhold any good thing from us. God cannot withhold anything that He is or He has from us. You know, throughout the scripture, that beautiful truth is revealed to us. The one who asks us to love Him with all our heart is telling us that, dear child of God, I love you. With all that I am, with all that I have, I love you for time and for eternity. And I cannot do otherwise. My love is such that I cannot love you halfway. If I love you, then you can be sure that I love you with all that I am. And as we look at the book of Revelation, the final scene, the consummation of all things, what do we see there? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And it speaks of we being with him. Where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14. And chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, you know, the blessings that are promised to those who are faithful, that you may sit in my throne. You know, we are called to him, we are brought to him, we are redeemed by his blood, that we may be with him. We may share in his glory. Father, it is my desire that they also be with me, that they may behold my glory, that they may share my glory. And finally, what do we read in Revelation 22? We just, are coming from a mountaintop experience. Actually, Brother Alexander Kurian and a few others, you know, who were there in Brother Cam John Angle's funeral. You know, we remembered all this. You know, it says, my name shall be on their foreheads. You know, it speaks of, you know, that glorious access. There is nothing. If you have the name of God on your forehead, that means that there will never be a closed door in God's heaven for all eternity. Because this name that we bear, it stands for all that God is. It opens vistas, doors of all of God's heaven for all eternity being with him. Even the sparrow. And we were going to read that portion from Matthew chapter 7. Let's read just a few just one verse, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, who is in heaven. I'm sorry. Let me read just a couple of verses before that. verse 7 on. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The same good things. He will not withhold any good thing, and he will give good things. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more this perfect, holy, righteous, loving God, what would he give? It is to that we need to turn our attention. Lord, what is this good thing that you are offering to me? You know, the Lord came to this world offering this. But what did the people do? They crowded around him wherever he went. What were they seeking? The good thing that he promised? The higher things that he promised? The spiritual blessings that he promised? No. They wanted to eat bread. They wanted to be healed. You know, temporal blessings they sought. And they even thought that he's the Messiah. He's the one who is going to restore the nation of Israel. He is the one who is going to bring us to blessing. So let us crowd around him. There is tremendous possibilities there. But their eyes were blinded to a certain extent in that they could not see what the Lord was trying to teach. The Lord was saying, so that you may know what is awaiting you. So that you may know what I came to offer to you. The good things. And he's saying, your heavenly Father will give the good things. You know, we misinterpret this portion of scripture. So often people say, if you ask, You know, whatever you ask, the Lord is going to give. You know, if you seek, whatever you seek, you will find. If you knock, you know, whatever you are knocking for, it will be done. But the Lord is talking about not just the temporal. And I'm not minimizing the importance of asking and seeking and knocking, even for our temporal needs. In fact, the Lord is mindful of our temporal needs. He never made, minimize the importance of work, importance of bread, importance of the comforts of life, all that. But the only thing the Lord said, don't just devote your life just for that. Let not your life be limited to achieving those things, those blessings. You know, the Lord, when he was tempted by the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is very significant for us to recognize that the Lord understands that we need bread, we need water, we need clothing. And the Lord said, your heavenly Father knows about those things, and he provides all that. But where should you be concentrating your attention? What should be your goal and desire in life? Then he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, this will be a bonus to you. This will be a bonus to you. And but so often, you know, the side business has become the main business, and the main business has become the side business. We are so occupied with the comforts of life, the bread that perish, and we forego that which the Lord has placed before us, promised to us, brought to us by his death on the cross of Calvary, that we may enter into the enjoyment of all the possibilities of life that is placed before us. The Lord was telling us that, you know, I came that you may enjoy what I enjoy. You may see what I see. You may be where I am. And that is the promise that was given to us. But we say, Lord, we are hungry. You know, how are we going to be fed? You know, where will we get the water in this desert? But the Lord said, Lord, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, right? There it says that, you know, I have fed you these 40 years in this wilderness where there was no bread, where there was no water. I provided you clothing and shoes, everything that was needed for your temporal life, I have supplied to you supernaturally. And then it says, so that you may know, so that you may know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that you may know. Let us just keep that in our hearts and minds. Every time we read these things, say, so that, then think of, you know, what we should know. The Lord is saying that greater promises are there, greater possibilities are there, greater blessings are there. I have promised your fathers something greater, something greater. I have promised them a land, but more than that, I promised them my presence in their midst. I promised them eternal blessings, and that is what you should be after, and not just these things. I recognize your need. I will provide. And the Lord said, I prove to you that I would provide. But let your occupation be not with the perishing bread, but let your occupation be with the eternal realities, the glorious promises that God has given to your fathers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In fact, the Lord said, you know, these things the Gentiles seek. They are concerned about their temporal needs, their physical needs. I mean, they are so occupied with making it in this life. For them, success is gaining the whole world. You know, if you can gain the whole world, you are successful. But in the Lord's eyes, what did he say? You fool. What will happen to all you have earned and accumulated? If your soul is taken from you, you are a fool. But that is the Gentile mindset. You shouldn't be like this. You are the redeemed of God. You are the people of God. You are the people who are brought to the sanctuary of God to look at the face of God, to understand things better. You know, I opened the eyes of this blind, but it is not just so that he can see, look around and enjoy all the physical and the natural beauty around him. I opened his eyes so that you may know that I can open your spiritual eyes to see that greater reality, that you may see heavenly reality, that you may see God. You know, in our prayers, this should be our prayer. Lord, you have given me all that I need. I am comfortable here. You have been gracious and kind. I enjoy the protection. Lord, let me not be satisfied with what I have now, the temporal things. Lord, I want to look at things that are unseen. I want to look at eternal realities. I want to experience that. Lord, open my eyes that I may see those supernatural reality, the things that are so wonderfully revealed in your word, so that I may appreciate who you are, appreciate what you have done for me, what you have in reserve for me, what is my hope for the future. Lord, open my eyes, open my ears, Lord. Loosen my tongue, O Lord, that I may speak on your behalf, that I may testify of the grace of God, testify of the love of God, that those who are in darkness may come into the light. Lord, make me whole, that I may be a whole person. Make me whole, that I may come with all my heart, my soul, and my mind to you, to worship you, to praise you, to serve you in such a way. That is what the Lord is seeking from us. So don't be so occupied with the things, you know, of this world. You know, we spend so much time just to take care of this body, you know, just to make sure that myself and my family are well fed, well cared for. And I want to make sure that our future is secure. And for that, I get up early in the morning, I work till night. You know, there is no rest for me. The other day, one of my dear friends, you know, a very dear brother, a spiritual man at that, you know, but he was talking about his life. He's only in his 40s. He said, while I was a young man, my parents insisted that I get good grades. And I applied, you know, myself to my studies. And I accomplished. I did very well in my school. And then, you know, I had the opportunity to go to college. There also, I worked hard. I sacrificed so that I can earn a degree. And now I have earned a degree. I got a job. I got a job. And for the last so many years, I have been going. You know, he works in General Motors. And said, day in and day out. You know, I get up in the morning at 5:30. By the time I go to bed, it is 12 o'clock. The other day, he said to me, I just took few minutes just to look back at my life and ask myself, with all that I have done in life, what did I gain? What will go with me beyond the grave? What will I have for eternity? What is there that I can hold on to in my life? And he said that, you know, if General Motors would fire me today, I'll be the happiest person. I would know that, you know, the Lord has a greater purpose for my life. Of course, I'm not saying that he's not being used, you know, in our midst, okay? He's a wonderful brother, an able brother, and he's a blessing to all of us. He is serving the Lord the best way he can. But he's saying that compared to the time and the effort that he is putting to make it in this world, to make himself and his family safe, he is not putting enough effort, spending enough time for the things of the Lord. There is no balance. And what the Lord is saying is that there is that parallel reality. You should not forget. By the way, what is the time that I should be stopping? 10 more minutes? Okay. And that is what I want us to recognize. from this day forward, ask ourselves, Lord, is there any balance in my life? At the end of my life, when I look back, will I be able to say that by the Lord, I was led to that higher reality, that spiritual reality, that eternal reality, and I was faithful in devoting myself to that? Or would I say in regret, Lord, you know, I was so blinded, so short-sighted about my life. I was only sensitive to, you know, the comforts of my life. Lord, here I am. I commit myself to you. You know, Apostle Paul said, bodily exercise is profitable, right? A little. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. I think I have, yeah. That now is and that which is to come. Now, bodily exercise, it is profitable a little. For now, you know. Again, I'm not minimizing the need of exercise. We all need exercise. In fact, in order for our mind to work better, well, we need to have a sound body. Do exercise, but recognize that it has limited benefit, temporal benefit. But practice godliness, exercise godliness. And what is the benefit? It has eternal benefit. Now, that now is, and of that which is to come. In time and in eternity. For now, here on earth, and when I get to heaven, that will have its consequence, its rewards. So, let us apply ourselves to exercising godliness. That godlikeness is what we need to pursue after. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 11. We have that verse that I quoted in here. Verse 6 on. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Apostle Paul gives such an emphasis on teaching the right things, exercising godliness, applying yourself to the service and worship of God, and applying yourself to being faithful in the place where God has placed you, in the things that God has entrusted to you. And it says, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, that we may have something that will last forever, in time and eternity. Being in the sanctuary of God. The vision from the sanctuary. You know, when we think of life, I like to picture a high-rise building with a basement. A dark basement, maybe a little light. When we think of the people of the world, those who do not know the Lord, where do they live? They live in that basement, you know, surrounded by four walls. Maybe a little light, because they were also created in the image of God. There is some light in them. In fact, Romans chapter 1 tells that God has given them enough light so that they may seek after God. But we see that their life is just in that basement, that dark basement. And all their accomplishments are right there, and it kind of ends there. You know, it has no outlet. But then we see the rest of that building, from the first floor on to the penthouse, you know, on top. You know, I was thinking, you know, the Lord has just brought us so that we may climb higher and higher and higher, so that our vision may be clearer and wider, and that we may have a fresh appreciation of who God is and what God has done for us, who God is and what God promised to us, and what God has brought us into. And our prayer should be, Lord, you have brought me from this basement to the first floor. Now I can see. Now there is light all around me. I can look around and I can truly appreciate what you have placed before me. You know, so many believers kind of stay in that first floor. They're happy that they are saved. They enjoy the light that has come to them. They enjoy the provision that God has made for them. But they don't make any progress because they are so caught up with the things of this world. Because they sense that, you know, they feel that real need. And they never climb higher. They never go to the penthouse. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, believers' life in the penthouse. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. You know, if I were preaching the prosperity gospel, just like the crowd that crowded the Lord would have come. That is not what we are saying. What we are saying is that, you know, let us come into that place that God has prepared for us. Even now, I'm not talking about the mansions that the Lord has prepared for us, but even now, that place of blessing, that presence of blessing and possibilities, and just be there and devote ourselves to serving the Lord. Devote ourselves to loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, because my God loves me. My God cares for me, and his love is infinite. It is eternal, and I'm going to be assured into all that in the future. And that is what my life is to be. Life on higher ground. Life on higher ground. Psalmist in Psalm 27 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple." You know, he was, I believe that, his eyes were opened to see the real reality. And he realized that the real reality is in the presence of God, in the house of God. That is where I should be coming to, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, that I may inquire in his temple, that I may live with the counsel that I receive from the Lord, with the insight that he gives. Dear believers, as we devote ourselves to the word of God, you know, that light of God comes to us, and we are given a new understanding, a new appreciation of the things of God. You know, the enemy is very clever. Just as he came to tempt the Lord, he is surrounding us and actually distracting us from the real thing, from the real blessings. And just as we read in that temptation account, the first thing he said is, "No, you are hungry, and if you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread and satisfy your hunger." Actually, you know, when you look at all these, you know, different the three temptation accounts that we have there, you see the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, you know, the pride of life, all that, you know, we consider it so often. In fact, what the devil was trying to do was that, just, you know, dwell on this. The Lord was talking about the higher reality. The Lord was concerned about every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Lord was bringing before, the Lord came that the promises of God may be brought to us, and all that God's love has promised and prepared for us. But the devil did not want him to look at that, but just the bread and, you know, the fame and name and all that. But the Lord, you know, every time he was tempted in those ways, we see that he turned around and said that, you know, I recognize your deception, but I am the Son of God. I have come from heaven. I know what the real reality is. I know what is of value. I know what is of glory. And I know what is of eternal value. And here I am. So he countered and gave him that right answer. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let that be the vision that continue to encourage us, that we may live as we ought to. Don't be satisfied with, you know, the crumbs that the world gives, but be satisfied with the abundant supply of the Word of God and the promises and the blessings of God. Father, we thank you for granting us this wonderful time to be together in thy presence, to look into thy Word. What a God you are. What a wonderful God you are. What a gracious God you are. Lord, when we were in our sin, in our ugliness, in our defilement, in our enmity, Lord, you came to us and you have taken our hands. You have lifted us up. You have placed our feet on that rock. You died for us. You have imputed on us your righteousness, and you have brought us to God, and you have opened our eyes to see what are the possibilities before us as a child of God. Grant us the grace, O Lord, to go forward with that vision of God, vision of glory, vision of heaven, and all the wonderful blessings that you have promised to us. We commit each and every one of us to you and pray that. Let not the enemy deceive us. Let not our fleshly nature deceive us. But Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Let the prayers of Apostle Paul become a reality in our day-to-day life, that we may truly understand the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of God's love, and that we may enter into it and that we may dwell in it. We ask all this in the most blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.